In the past couple months, we've been hearing and reading a lot about what is heading our way. In our messages, sermonettes, sermons, in our updates, especially when it comes to editorials that we're doing, and our programs, Standing Watch programs, we have touched upon that. But when it comes to us in the church, we are preparing for a very important occasion, which we partake of every year, for those of us who are baptized. We are in the examining phase, where we take a look at ourselves to see how we are doing, to see if we are worthy to take the Passover. Are we perfect? No. Are we trying? Well, hopefully, yes, for our sake. This is an important time, and I believe we all know that, especially with all the trials that we encounter along the way. And as we know, there have been many trials. And we've heard a lot about different trials that affect everybody individually, as they experience this in particular tests that affect each and every one of us. Now, not all trials are the same for each of us. We each go through various trials for the purpose of perfecting us, to test our response, to test our reaction, our strength, and our faith. Let me say it this way. You go through various trials for the purpose of perfecting yourself, to test your response, your reaction, your strength, and your faith. Or, let's put it on a personal level, I go through various trials for the perfection, or for the purpose of perfecting myself, to test my response, my reaction, my strength, and my faith. No matter how I say that sentence, it should affect each and every one of us. Do we pray to God when we are facing difficulties, asking Him to give us strength through His Holy Spirit, or is it something that's in the back of our minds? I know it's not important enough. Prayer is just something we do when we have the time for it, or when it's convenient, or when we're going through trials, something like that. Do we pray on a regular basis, not here and there? Or we may just forget altogether. Do not neglect the power of prayer for anything. Because what did Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we pray, like we just heard in the opening prayer, we pray to God the Father. But we conclude the prayer with praying in Jesus Christ's name. So Paul recognized that. The only way he's going to get strength was through Christ. But we are all human. We still think like humans, using our carnal minds, giving into sin. But we can quickly change that way of thinking because we have something the rest of the world does not have. The rest of the world has not been called by God like we have. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, or as baptized members, that we received to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, the rest of the world may think, yeah, there's certain things that are right and wrong, but there's still limitations because they just don't understand the spiritual aspect behind it. Now, that is why it is important to pray to God to grant us more of His Spirit when we are going through difficulties, and why it is also important to replenish it yearly to be filled up again. Repetitious. We do this every year. We take the Passover every year, right? Why do we do this every year? We don't just get baptized and then we're automatically saved. We don't just take the Passover once and that's all we need. Just like a gas tank. You don't fill up your car one time with gas and then never have to get gas again. It doesn't work that way. So we shouldn't be afraid when we go through trials either, but it's never a bad thing to ask why we may be going through certain trials. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 we read, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. You know, David, as a great example in the Bible, he understood this, and he was also faced with many difficult trials. I mean, if you look at today and say if he were to do a lot of the, you know, sins that he committed today, pretty bad. I mean, he went through a lot of difficult things. Now, he pleaded with God with fasting and prayer, and he knew that he had to change. Now, he realizes later on in his life, he went through a lot before that, but he was not too proud to admit that he sinned when he recognized it, and he bitterly repented for it. Now, he was still punished for the sins that he committed, but God accepted his repentance, and he was forgiven. But it took action for him to get that way. After all, he was a man after God's own heart. His heart was in the right place. Yes, he committed sins, but his heart was in the right place. He loved God's law, and he received strength from God. What did he say? Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He knew if God was in his life, what did he have to fear? He didn't have to fear man and everything else in this world, as long as God was in his life. He also said in Psalms 118, and verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Sometimes our carnal nature gets in the way. Our human side. Our trials may be different from one another's trials, but we still all go through them. For we are all being tested. All of us here are being tested. And that is why we pray for one another. And we are never alone. We could be the only human on the face of this planet. And yet, we're still not alone. The past several months, we've also been hearing and reading about what the candidates have been voicing to the public for the upcoming presidential elections, attempting to convince the people whom they should vote for and why they should. Now, they also all have differing beliefs in many aspects, and we have stated in the church how there isn't one candidate out there we could possibly vote for since they do not believe what we believe. How could we? And they may believe in one thing that we agree with, but then they're completely off on something else. And there's too many contradictions, too many conflictions there. So how can we vote for somebody when they don't believe everything that we do in any manner? How can we do that? You see, and for that very reason, we can't vote for someone who preaches or teaches or whatever against what the Bible teaches. You know, we're having the annual church conference, as you know, and we discuss certain topics, for example, and based on the Bible, we make decisions that we can all agree with. With doctrinal matters that the Bible is clear on, we do not waver. This is why we discuss it and we come to an agreement. If we're talking about a clear-cut, you know, doctrinal matter that the Bible does reveal, black and white issues, that's something else. But overall, to be truly unified, we are to speak the same thing, agree that there are no divisions, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We need to be of one mind. 1 Peter 3, 8. Romans 12, 16 adds that we need to be of the same mind with one another and not be wise in your own opinion. If we think that we can make it on our own, saying that we don't need the church, we don't need the ministry, we don't need to keep the law, etc., and just do what we believe is correct in our own eyes, well, guess what? You're going to have a hard life ahead of you. You will fail. You can't do anything without God. Where do we put our trust in is the question. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If you start to lean on your own understanding without putting God in the picture, it's not going to work. Yes, God will direct our paths. But God also provides help because we are not alone. Who can understand the Bible without direction, explanation, and guidance? Why do so many people read the same book that we read, and yet there's so many different explanations on what the Bible's interpreting? I'll tell you how God provides help for the purpose of teaching. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And let's also look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. We are to admonish the ministry because we have a work to do. It's right here in the Bible. But we need to be of one mind. You know, we have the ministry, and we have the conference that we go through, and we discuss certain things that we need to make decisions on. But we need to be of one mind. Can I just say, each minister, okay, you're for yourselves, and whatever you do in your congregation, whatever. You know, even up to them. It doesn't work that way. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? Right? Amos 3, 3. Again, to be truly unified, we must have humility, which you read about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We also must have peace, Ephesians 4, 13. And we must have love, which is the bond of perfection, Colossians 3, 14. But verses 12 and 13 elaborates on what we need to have or need elaborates on what we need to do to have that bond of perfection. Let's look at that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering or patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Must do. It's a command. And then verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Doesn't just say, put on love, that's it. Love the law, that's it, that's all you have to do, you're saved. No, it doesn't say that. There's action involved here. There's work that we have to do. We have to do all these things. It's not that easy. It's not. That is why we need to examine ourselves to see how we are doing. This is why we go through tests to see how we are doing. Are we doing enough? Is a million-dollar question. Yes, we all go through various trials. No, we are not alone. Continue with prayer. Pray for one another. Unify. Through unity of like mind, we receive strength. Strength and unity do go hand in hand. Allow God to help us when we go through difficult times, and let us not take for granted what God has given to us. But let us really think about what his purpose is for us. Each and every one of us has a purpose. It may be different from everybody else, but we all have a purpose. Why are we here? What are we commissioned to do? Finally, yes, we all have a part to play, individually and as a whole.